If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the book of Revelation. I heard a preacher say this years ago, and it really stuck with me. He said this, "You've heard all kinds of people say, 'Pray for me,' or 'Pray for us.' But he said it like this. He said, 'If you have unhindered access to the throne of grace, pray for us.'" How many knows that sometimes in our life as believers, our access is hindered? Sometime or another, God's going to let me preach on that. There are some hindrances to fellowship with God, amen, and to access to the throne of God. But beloved, this morning, if you're walking with God and you're in fellowship with God and you have unhindered access to the throne of grace, I beg you to pray for us this morning. Amen. God has something on the table for us today, I believe. If you have your Bibles in Revelation chapter number 22, Revelation chapter 22, this will be unusual, but let's stand together, reverence to the Word of God. And I'm just going to read a few words of one verse, and then we'll preach this morning what God has put on our heart. Revelation chapter 22 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "And he showed me." I'll read it again. "And he showed me." I bowed my head yesterday evening. And I said, "Lord, I'll stand in the morning before a group of people." And I said, "Lord, I don't know what they need." You know what God did? He showed me. That might not mean much to you, but it means the world to me to know that I'm going to share with you today what God showed me last night. Amen. I might not be saying that word just right. Maybe you're supposed to say, "He shooed me." But I believe in our East Tennessee vernacular, it would come out something like, "He showed me." I want to ask you questions. He showed you anything? Pray for us, would you? Father, thank you this morning for the Word of the living God. Lord, they thought they were doing John a disservice when they put him out there on the Isle of Patmos. They thought they were punishing him. They thought that he would be out there all alone. But Lord, John wasn't alone. You were with him. And God, because you were with him and because the Spirit of God was moving in his heart and in his life and he was able to hear the voice of the Lord, he could say, "And he showed me." I pray, dear Father, today that you'll bless in this service. Help us to convey, Lord, to these dear people that you have conveyed to our hearts and showed us in these days. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Thank you for being here today. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. I'd like to also reiterate what Brother Jason said. The Fall Festival yesterday was just wonderful. So much work, much of it behind the scenes, goes into something like that. But I tell you, I believe that we're making memories, amen? And it's a wonderful time of fellowship together. God showed me some things last night concerning four different areas. And I want to just get started this morning because Miss Eve will say when We leave the house sometimes. Let's go so we can get back. So let's get started so we can get finished. Amen. On this message today. The first thing God showed me was something in the Scripture concerning the saints. I'll give it to you this morning. First of all, He showed me something concerning the saints' worship. Look down in verse number 8 with me, please. And the Bible said, I, John, saw these things and heard them. Now He's talking about the things in verse number 1 through verse number 7. And I heard them. And He said, when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. The Bible said, then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. And then he said this, worship God. God showed me something concerning the saints and their worship. We're never to worship an angel. We're never to worship one another. But our worship is to be directed towards the God of heaven. Amen. Some people have not figured that out. Let me say something to you this morning. Everybody will worship something or worship someone. A lot of people could look at their checkbook and find out what they're worshiping. What's worth more to them than anything else in the world. Amen. Look at your schedule. Look at your time. Amen. How you invest your time. Think about right now where you'd rather be than in the house of God. And you'll get an idea, beloved, if there's somewhere else you would rather be of where you're worshiping, where your heart is. Amen. But God said of the saints of God that we're to worship Him. The second thing that God showed me concerning the saints was concerning their work. Not only their worship, but their work. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 12. And the Bible said, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. Listen, it's good to be saved. It's good to be washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what comes with that privilege? Responsibility. Amen. God said we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. There is our works are going to be judged. My sins were judged at Calvary. But as a child of God, I'm going to stand before God. And God said, I'm coming quickly. And He said, my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I tell you, beloved, as children of God, we need to take that seriously. We need to do what we can, while we can. Amen. Do all that we can for the glory of God Almighty. See, in that judgment, not only is it going to be revealed what we've done, but it's going to be revealed why we did it. Amen. I believe it's right to invite people to Christ, to invite people to church. But I tell you what, beloved, if you want it for man's glory, then it all became wrong all of a sudden. But if you want, beloved, listen, you want it for God's glory, and you'd like to have a soul winner's crown to lay at the feet of Jesus, amen, and holler, worthy, Lord, I'm not worthy, but you're worthy, amen, then I believe the motive is right. So the saints, there's something that He showed me concerning their worship, that He showed me concerning their work, and then there's something that He showed me concerning their walk. It's going to get a little bit rough right here. I'm going to read some scripture. And beloved, a lot of people is going to want to push that scripture to the side. They're going to say, well, listen, I know I've been born again. I know I've been washed in the blood. I know I've been saved by the grace of God. But God showed me something concerning their walk. Look in verse number 14. The Bible said, blessed are they that do His commandments, and that they may have a right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Turn back to 1 John, please. Little John. My grandpa used to call him Little John. Turn back to 1 John chapter number 2. Listen to this. Let this speak to your heart this morning. I'm telling you, beloved, I believe we're standing in a world where churches, beloved, there are many, many, many people in the house of God under the preaching of the Word of God, under the singing of the songs of Zion. And beloved, they say something that's just not true. And you'll understand when I read the verses what I mean. The Bible said in verse number 3 of 1 John chapter 2, "And hereby do we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments." And the Bible said, beloved, "He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." You say, "Pastor, that's rough." No, that's the Word of God. Amen. I'm telling you, somebody told Brother Mays one time, said, "Well, I just can't keep the commandments." He said, "Would you tell me which one you're having trouble with?" Amen. Listen to me. We're not saved by keeping the commandments. But if you get saved by the grace of God, the Holy Ghost comes into you. And the Bible hinges all the commandments on two things. He said, "Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, all your mind, all your body, all your soul. And love your neighbor as yourself." Amen. God hung them all on those two. The Bible said, "But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we know we're in Him. He that saith he abideth in Him." Notice this, "our walk ought himself also to walk even as He walked." That's strong language, beloved. But that's Scripture. Amen. And Jesus in this Scripture in chapter 22 of the book of Revelation shows us something concerning the saints, their worship, their work, and their walk. Amen. Are you walking with God today? Amen. Can you sing the song and it be true? "He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me that I'm His own." I tell you, beloved, the little boy in Sunday school went home and he told his mom. He said, "I finally figured it out." She said, "What, son?" She said, "I know what God's name is." She said, "Tell me." She said, "His name is Andy." He said, "I heard him down there at the church singing, 'Andy walks with me and He talks with me.'" I tell you this morning, beloved, His name's not Andy. His name's Jesus. And it's a blessing, amen, to know that He walks with us and He talks with us every day of our life, and that we can have sweet communion and fellowship with Him that loved us and gave Himself for us. Beloved, secondly, He showed me something concerning the saints. But then He showed me something concerning the sinner. If you'll look with me, please, in verse number 11. The Bible said, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." In other words, beloved, however you leave out of here is how you're going to stand before God. Beloved, the Bible said here, listen, God is showing us something concerning the sinner. Stay with me this morning, please. I'll help you understand some things, I believe. Now, He showed me something, number one, concerning the sinner's filthiness. Let me say this to you this morning, beloved. You know what conviction is? I'll tell you what it is. It's when the Holy Spirit of God shows you how holy God is and how filthy you are. Amen. You say, "Pastor, I don't like that word filthy." Well, let me give you something, beloved. Turn over in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of... Well, you don't have to turn there. I'll just quote it for you. The Bible said, if a man keeps the whole law and yet offends in one point, he's guilty of all. Our beloved, it's not a man or a woman saying, "Well, I told this little lie," or "I stole $10. And beloved, listen, when God throws a book at you, you look down and you realize, "Oh my goodness, I'm naked before Him. And not only am I naked, I'm dirty. I'm filthy before Him. And I need a bath." And I'll tell you, Ivory soap and Zest and every other kind of soap you can get a hold of will not take that mess off. It'll have to be the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that washes us from our filthiness and washes us from our sin. We can get the outside of this old body clean, but on the inside, there's only one cleansing agent that can clean us and make us holy and make us pure and make us right with a holy God. And that's the blood of His dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He shows us the sinner's filthiness. You say, "Pastor, why aren't you still filthy?" Let me tell you why. Turn over with me, please, to Revelation chapter 1. I was filthy at one time. I remember when the Spirit of God showed me my filthiness. I used to weld for a living. I'm telling you, that grinding dust would get in your shirt. that old smoke from that welder would get in your hair. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, that uniform that you were wearing, it stank, amen. I couldn't wait to get home and get me a shower and get on a clean uniform, amen. A little bit of deodorant goes a long way, amen. Some of your section might fill up if you'd start wearing a little bit. Amen. I'm just telling you this morning, beloved, listen, I could get the outside clean, but there come a day, February 22nd, 1987, I was sitting on the front bench of a Baptist church, and the man of God was preaching the Word of God, and the Spirit of God come by and said, I want you to look, son, what I'm seeing. What I'm seeing's a mess. What I'm seeing's filthy. What I'm seeing is a sinful vessel. And I tell you, thank God Almighty, He showed me my need that night of Him. Amen. Watch this now in the Word of God. The Bible said in verse number 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Listen, listen, listen. They say, Pastor, why aren't you filthy? I'll tell you why. Unto Him that loved us. Oh, hallelujah. The first thing that He convinced me of that night was He loved me. Let me tell you something about the God I serve. He loves old sinners. Amen. I'm telling you, He came to seek and to save that which was lost. God said, Son, I see you, but I love you. I see your filthiness, but I love you. And then the Word of God said this, unto Him that loved us. And then the Word of God said, and washed us. Oh, glory to God, from our sin in His own precious blood. And then listen, not only did He love me, and not only did He wash me, but I got up from there clean before God. And then He said He made us. I tell you, thank God Almighty, I ain't much. But what I am, it's because He made me what I am by the grace of God. Amen. He shows us something concerning the sinner's filthiness. Then secondly, the sinner's fearfulness. Look at chapter 21 and verse number 8. The Word of God said here in chapter 21 and verse 8, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God is showing us something this morning concerning the sinner's filthiness, but then concerning the sinner's fearfulness. You know what the Word of God said? It said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. I'm going to tell you, beloved, they got bumper stickers all over the place. It says no fear, but there's a day coming when the Word of God said they'll run to the rocks and the mountains and they'll cry, fall on us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne. There'll be some fear in that day. There'll be some men and some women that will want to die. The Word of God said, and they cannot die. I'm telling you, beloved, the fear of God, the Word of God said, is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. I'm telling you, the Word of God tells us, beloved, of the sinner's filthiness. But then it tells us of the sinner's fearfulness. I'll read a verse in Hebrews chapter number 10 quickly. Hebrews chapter number 10, it's starting in verse number 29. The Word of God said this. It said, of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath this done despite to the Spirit of grace. The Word of God said, for we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. And the Word of God said, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I'm going to say something this morning. Listen to me carefully. You may not believe what I'm going to say, but beloved, people are not going to hell because they're filthy. They're going to hell because they refuse to be washed. They're going to hell because they refuse the remedy for sin. And the Bible said they're fearful all. And then they're faithless in the same Bible, in verse number 8, chapter 21. But the fearful and the unbelieving, there's only one reason why people miss heaven. They refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God over there in that Philippian jail. Beloved, listen, they had heard Paul. They had heard Silas praying. And God shook the jailhouse. Boy, I'd like to see God shake America. I'd like to see God shake our churches. I'd like to see God shake my family. I'd like to see God shake us up and give us a burden for lost people. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. I believe over there in that verse, the Bible said, listen, that jailer, he was fixing to fall on his sword. He's fixing to kill himself. And Paul said, we're all here. He said, do thyself no harm. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Oh, let me tell you what he was saying, beloved. Listen, I'm not changing the Bible, but beloved Jason, this is what he was saying. Boys, I need what y'all got. Y'all got something I ain't got. What must I do to be saved? I'm glad Paul didn't light in on some long exhortation, but he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Beloved, it's that unbelieving spirit that's costing people their heaven. The Bible talks about the sinner's filthiness, the sinner's fearfulness, the sinner's faithlessness, and then the sinner's future. Look what the Bible said in verse number 11 of chapter 20. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whom the face of whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great. Honey, I'm gonna tell you something right now. It ain't gonna matter how many degrees you had. It ain't gonna matter how many houses you had, how many lands, how many stocks you had. It ain't going to matter, beloved, on this day. He said the small and the great, the rich and the poor. And watch what the Word of God said here. The Bible said here, and the books were open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. You could stop right there and ask this question. Is your name in the book of life? I'll tell you, beloved, unless your name is recorded in the book of life, there'll be no heaven waiting on you. At the end of the way, you must come. You must come by faith. You must come with a broken heart over your sin. Listen, I'm glad this morning that I have a time in my life when God broke my heart over my sin. But listen, it went further than that. He broke my heart over my Savior. I got to see Him that night. I got to see Him hanging there. I got to see Him bleeding. I got to see Him, beloved, hanging there naked in open shame. You say, Pastor, what'd that do for you? I realized it shouldn't have been Him. He was the Holy One. It should have been me hanging on that cross. He took my place. Thank God He did. Thank God for His love. The saints of God. Something concerning the saints. Something concerning the sinner. You say, Preacher, why do you preach so hard? Why did you give your life to the gospel? You say, Pastor, why do you visit from door to door? Why do you give invitations? Why do you beg people to get right with God? Because He showed me the sinner's future. As beautiful as the future of the saints of God is, the future for those who leave this world. I'll make a statement. I'll make it of your kids, my kids, your grandkids, my grandkids. It'd be better they'd never been born than to leave this world without Jesus. You say, Pastor, that's tough. No, that's scriptural. Amen. God showed me. John said, He showed me. But then let me give you this. It's going to get better if you hang around. Amen. He showed me something concerning the saints. He showed me something concerning the sinner. But then he showed me something concerning the Savior. I like what the songwriter said. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. I heard an old preacher years ago. Brother Dale, he said this. He said, when I get done preaching, he said, some people will leave and say, my, what a good sermon. He said, others will leave and say, my, what a good preacher. He said, some will leave and say, my, what a wonderful church. But he said, I have failed if they don't leave here saying, what a Savior. What a Savior. Choir, when you get up to sing, you ought to have a prayer on your breath before you ever sing. Oh God, don't let them hear us, and don't let them just see us, but let them hear you, and let them see you, because God, they need Jesus. Amen. What a Savior. I see the Savior welcoming. Look in chapter 21 and verse number 3. The Word of God said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. All these years I've been trying to serve him by faith. But honey, there's going to come a day I'll no longer have to walk by faith. I can walk hand in hand with the Savior that I love. The Savior that loved me. By the way, we love him because he first loved us. Amen. Now see the Savior welcome in chapter 22 and verse number 1. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. You say, Pastor, how can a river run out of a throne? Well, I read over in the Old Testament that there was a river run out of a rock. If God wants a river to run out of a throne, he can let the river run out of the throne. And let me tell you this, the river will never run dry. It'll be pure water, amen. And the Word of God said, in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Let me give you something, beloved. The nations ain't always going to be fighting. You see, there's a Prince of Peace coming. Amen. His name is Jesus. Amen. And thank God, he knows how to heal this thing up. Ain't no Republican. Ain't no Democrat. Ain't no Independent. There ain't no President. Ain't no Congress that knows how to fix this thing. It's done got plumb out of hand. But hallelujah, I serve a Savior that's fixing to say, come home, youngins! And he's going to welcome us into his presence. And then we see something concerning the Savior's warning. Watch this. Go back to chapter 22. Listen, I don't know that I've ever seen this before last night. This needs to be a major point in the message. I mean a major. Don't you let this be minor. You let this be major. If you're saved, you let it be major. If you're lost, you let it be major. You say, well, who else is there? There ain't nobody else. You either is, you ain't. You're either heaven bound or you're hell bound. You're either saved or lost. You're either washed in the blood of Jesus or you're still filthy in the eyes of a holy God. It's one way or the other. Watch this. I want you to see the Savior's warning. Look at verse number 7. Look at the first words. Behold, I come quickly. If you have a red letter edition Bible, that's all in red. You know who said that? Jesus. He said, behold. That word just simply means, would you stop just a minute and see something? I'm coming quickly. Watch this now. Now, if God said that once, that'd be enough for me. But look with me, if you will, at verse number 12. And behold, I come quickly. You talk about a Savior that loves you. He's going to tell you 3 times in 1 chapter. He's coming. And he's coming quickly. Watch this now. In verse number 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. I don't know how I've read the Bible all these years and didn't catch that. But God told us 3 times in 1 chapter. He's coming quickly. You know what I believe God wants us to know? Listen to me. Hear me well right here. I don't believe anybody just gets up and says, you know what? It's Monday. I think I'll just go to hell today. There's two things that can happen quickly. One is His coming, and the other is death. Quickly. No time to pray. No time. Quickly. The Word of God said, behold, I come quickly. Now let me give you something. It'll help you. Let me tell you how quick it is. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Not the bat in your eye, but the twinkle. I don't know how quick that is, but that's pretty quick. That's how He's coming. There was a fellow in Baltimore years ago. I was courting my wife at the time. And it was a Saturday, and I wanted to paint my welding truck, Brother Randall. So I had my wife in there helping me mask it. She wasn't going to do no spraying, but she was going to help me mask it. And there was a fella in there about 32 years old. His name was Lee. He was burnt out on drugs. I'm not making fun of him, but I mean he was burnt out on drugs. He was helping us mask the truck as well. Old Lee got to looking through that window at my girlfriend. She's still my girlfriend, by the way. But anyway, he got to looking through that window like that. And I said, now, Lee, that's enough of that. I said, Lee, do you believe I can hit you 3 times before you bat your eyes? He went, yeah. He held them eyes wide open. He wasn't going to bat his eyes to find out. Let me tell you something right now. Jesus could come 3 times before you bat your eyes. That's how quickly He's coming. We see He gives us something concerning the Savior's welcome, the Savior's warning, and then the Savior's word. He gives us something. He showed me. Look at verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You say, Pastor, how do you interpret that in East Tennessee? Here's how I interpret it. Don't mess with God's book. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me. I'm not trying to be mean. But they've written one now. This is what I've been told. Where there's no gender. There's no he's. And there are no she's. I guess that just means everybody's it. I don't know. But I know this. Male and female created He them. And He's still making them the same way He always has. That's why they get that little thing called the ultrasound. And after a while, they look in there and say, it's a boy or it's a girl. Amen. Never have I been to the nursery at the hospital, tapped on somebody's shoulder and says, what is it? And they turn around and said, we don't know. Amen. Never. They've always either got something pink or something blue. I didn't like the smoke, so I always bought them bubblegum cigars. Chew on them, amen. Get something out of it anyway. I'm going to tell you something right now. God's got a book. You say, Pastor, there's parts of that book I don't like. It don't matter whether you like it or not. It's still God's book. And God ain't changing it for Pastor or you or nobody else. The professors down there at the college, you want to know what kind of shape we're in? Just look at the colleges in America right now. Look at the ones that would just as soon have the Jewish people destroyed. Look at them. Listen to them. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can take offense to what I'm going to say. I'm going to say it anyway. Somebody needs to say it. You know what they are? They're a bunch of educated idiots. I'm not against education. Until it takes you away from God. You'd be better off without it. If it takes you away from the things of God, if it causes you to disbelieve the Word of God, you'd be better off without it. He showed me something concerning the saints, something concerning the sinner, something concerning the Savior. Now, at last, and not least, something concerning the Spirit. Look in verse 17, if you would, please. The Bible said here, and the Spirit and the bride say, what's the next word? You know what that tells me? If a person's sitting in a service like this, and they know that there's someone inside of them saying, come, how many knows there'll be somebody else sitting on the shoulder saying, sit still? See, the Spirit's ministry is to say, come, come. Jesus said, come, all you that labor are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For he said, I'm meek, I'm lowly and hard. You shall find rest for your soul. You want to know why there's so much unrest in the world? Because there's unrest in people's hearts. You want to know why there's so much unrest in the homes? Because there's unrest in people's hearts. I'm going to tell you something. Only Jesus can give you real rest. Only Jesus can give you real rest. We see the Spirit calling in verse number 17. He's saying, come. And then the Word of God said this, and let him that heareth say, come. Beloved, I believe, listen, faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. In all these years, and I don't say this boastfully, I say it thankfully, I've been accused of a lot of things, but never in all these years have I been accused of not preaching the Bible. I've been accused of preaching stuff people didn't like, but nobody's ever said that wasn't in the Bible. They'd let me know they didn't like it. That's okay. Amen. God's preachers will preach it all. They don't skip through it and decide one day I'll preach on it and one day I won't. No, when God gives it to them, when God shows them, they'll preach what God gives them. Thus saith the Word of God. There's the Spirit of God calling. There's the Spirit of God convicting. And then there's the Spirit of God convincing. Watch this now. The Bible said, let him that's athirst come. You know when a person comes? When they're convinced. I'm filthy. He's holy. I'm filthy, but he loves me. I'm filthy, but he's got something to make me clean. I'm filthy, but he loved me so much. The Bible said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life. He died for me. When that happens, the Spirit of God is convincing that person. He didn't just convict us of our sin, but he convinced us of a Savior that loved us. The Bible said something like this, if I could get it started. But God commendeth his love toward us. God ain't waiting on you to get cleaned up to love you. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, if you had to get cleaned up to get saved, I want you to picture this for just a moment. I'll show you how stupid that is. I go in the bathroom and I shut the door. I turn the hot water on our end of the house. It takes it a while to get there. And hot water finally gets hot. And I get me a washcloth and I get some of that hot water and I lather that washcloth up and I just go to washing. You know what I'm doing? I'm getting ready to take a shower. Help me. Would that not be stupid? Amen. No, I'm just going to go in there. I'm going to turn the shower on. I'm going to get in the shower. You don't have to get cleaned up to come to Jesus. By the way, that's a lot of Baptist problem. We want people to get cleaned up before we'll welcome them. God help us. May God help this to be a hospital for sinners. And saints. Saints need doctrine too. Would somebody say amen? The Spirit of God convinces us to take the water of life freely. I got a drink that night. I've been far from perfect, but I've never been the same. I got a drink of living water. He showed me. Has He showed you? He showed John. Has He showed you? I don't know about you. I'm thankful that He showed me. Brother Jack, I might still be doing the same things I used to do. Talking with the same filthy mouth. Looking at the same filthy images. Hanging out in the same filthy places. There's not a doubt in my mind I wouldn't be. Had it not been for a hill called Mount Calvary. Had it not been for an old rugged cross. Had it not been for a Savior that said, boy, you've lived for yourself long enough. I love you. Come on over here and I'll give you a bath. And I'll let you serve me. The preachers that are in the house today, it ought to humble us that He counted us faithful and let us have the gospel to proclaim to a lost and dying world. Father, this morning, I want to thank You for John, and thank You, God, for the experience that he had on the Isle of Patmos. Lord, this morning there may be somebody in the house looking down and saying, well, I ain't so bad. God, would You show them that without Jesus, we're bad. We're dirty. We're filthy. God, I pray this morning that folks would realize that good old boys, they go to hell too without Jesus. Because really, Lord, apart from the Lord, there's none good. No, not one. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. In this invitation, our Father, it is my prayer that perhaps the saints that are walking at a distance allowed something in their life that's hindering their fellowship. They run to an altar. Perhaps, Lord, there's a man or a woman burdened for their family, burdened for their children, burdened for their neighbor. They'd run in this altar. Say, God, You've showed me where they're headed without You. Help me, God, to get between them and hell and make a difference in their life. God, for that one that's unsaved, Lord, I know there's a wrestling match going on right now. I pray the Spirit of God would win. Lord, that young man, that young lady, whoever they might be, that needs Jesus, would surrender. Say, it's enough. I need You, Lord. I need You in my life. Help us today, we pray. We're standing together. Folks are in the front praying.